All right, Psalm 119, and we are in verse 129. This is the Hebrew letter P, which would be similar to our letter P. And the first section deals with a love for the Word of God. We need to have a love, a passion for the Word of God. He says in verse 129, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." And again, this particular psalm, all but I think three of the verses, do mention in some way, shape, or form the Word of God. And so, dealing with these things, understand that he's not saying all there is to say. But I'll tell you what, one of the things that's interesting in watching folks and dealing with folks over the years and even looking at your own life, that, there are days when you don't want to read the Bible. And then there's other days where you just, oh boy, I get to read the Bible. And the days where we find that we don't want to, I have personally found, there's several reasons why. Number one is I'm distracted. I've got other things on my mind. It's hard for me to concentrate. It's hard for me to focus because I'm distracted thinking about other things. But very often we don't want to get into the Word of God. And the same reason we don't want to come to church is because we're under conviction. And it seems like it doesn't matter where I read in the Bible, God is going to be talking to me about something that I need to deal with in my life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. When we experience the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God, that's a good thing. If you go weeks and months without God convicting your heart, there's probably some cause for concern. You say, well, I think everything's great. Nobody's that good. It's a good thing to be brought. I have there's a fellow I know that, lives in an area where there is a huge choice of good sound churches to attend, which is really an oddity, but this is his situation. And he selected a church to go to he'd go to one for a couple of weeks. He's checking them out. Go to this one for a few weeks. Go to this one for a couple of weeks. And, some fine preaching. Some great ministries going on there, but he went to the one where he was constantly under the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, because that's what I need. It isn't all the bells and whistles. I need, and it isn't that the different folks here are not faithful to the Word of God. It says, I need to be someplace where God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be convicting me about areas of my life where I need to yield myself to Him. And so the psalmist says, thy testimonies are wonderful. We think of wonderful as a synonym for this is good. This is really good. But it's more than that. It's the idea of amazement or full of wonder. It's just mind-boggling how great and amazing the Word of God is. And because the Word of God is amazing, because it is full of wonder, that is one of the reasons why the psalmist therefore observes God's Word. He says in verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We struggle with decisions. What am I to do? What am I to do? And very often we can pare down the options and we can take care of a lot of the questions and so on when we run everything through the filter of God's Word. If my decisions are purely neutral, and by the way, I'll let you know that this is my to some extent my opinion and my experience as well as the experience of a number of other folks. Very often, it's a cut and dry situation. I need to do this because we can go through the list that to do otherwise would be wrong. It's a sin issue. To do wrong would be a liability here. It would keep me from doing some other things that I really ought to be doing. And so, the choice is fairly simple. If I do this, then it's going to keep me from church. It's going to keep me from ministry. It's going to keep, but if I do this, then I'll be able to do some of the things that I know that God wants me to do. That makes it a fairly simple situation. But sometimes you have things that are just neutral. Which way do I choose? Which way do I choose? And I'll let you know that generally speaking, by the time you have to make the choice, it becomes fairly evident. Something else will come up. A door will close. an opportunity will go away, or you learn something about the circumstance. Or sometimes I've only got one choice. It's really wonderful when you only have the one choice. When you have multiple choices, it becomes more complicated, more difficult. But when you evaluate things through the filter of the Word of God, that is a huge help. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. What am I to do? And it isn't just decision making. It's how I'm to operate in life. The things that I do. I used to ask young people all the time, why do you do the things you do? Well, I just do them. No. Nobody just does stuff. All right? Some people may think that. But I'm telling you that there are reasons why you do the things that you do. There are reasons why you say the things that you say. What is it that is doing those things? And very often we're not aware of the factors behind the scenes. But if we run everything through the Word of God, if I program myself, if you want to look at it that way, to operate biblically, and we need to do that. We need to think biblically, we need to operate biblically. If I program myself to do that, that is going to make me wise. That's what we've been seeing over and over again in this particular psalm. That's going to make me wise. That's going to have me making the decisions that are honoring to God. God says this, therefore when the circumstances come up, I'm going to instantly think and hopefully follow through on doing the thing that God would have me to do. Why? Because there's another reason why we need to be immersed in the Word of God. What does it say about all these different things? And I'm telling you, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We really do. We need to be able to operate this way. He says it gives understanding unto the simple. And even the people that might be, the elevator doesn't stop at all the floors, or you're a few fries short of a happy meal, or whatever the thing you want to say. Even folks that may struggle in different areas are going to find what they need in the Word of God. He says in verse 131, I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments. We are spoiled. We have water everywhere. And I don't mean just falling out of the sky and lots of lakes and stuff. But, for example, there's water's a bottle. There's bottles of water on the back table there. There's a bunch of them out in the foyer. Most places you go to are either going to have access to, a drinking fountain or a sink. And if you need a drink, you can get a drink anywhere. And these days, if you are doing kind of work where it's hard labor, do we still do that in this country? Do we still have hard labor? So if you're doing something that's hard labor, there's still always access to water. If you're working in a shop, there's water there. If you're working in a farm situation, there's water there. But if you go back 3,000 years ago when this psalm was written, you didn't have bottles of water that you kept in your pocket. You had water conveyed two different ways. Either you had it in a something like a wineskin, which was not typically the case. Or you had it in a jar. When I was a kid, we were working in the hay. We had bottles of water, but it wasn't like this. We would have we'd have gallon jars, like an old cider jug or an old jug of that nature, and we would have that filled up, and we were not allowed to access that until we had finished the wagon of hay. So we have to unload 140 bales, get them all stacked up in place and everything before we can take a break. And depending on how much there was to do, sometimes it might be two wagons or more. And by the time you get done with this, you're just, I am panting. I am wanting a drink very badly. And that's the imagery he uses. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed after thy commandments. I have a craving for the Word of God. And we need to have that craving for the Word of God. So often our reading of the Scripture becomes a responsibility, a duty. Why do you read the Bible? Because I'm supposed to. Do you read the Bible to learn? Well, in part, but then we need to make sure we don't lapse into our Bible study being strictly academic affair. Am I into the Word of God so that God can speak to me? Am I into the Word of God so I can learn to be wise, as we saw in the last verse? Am I into the Word of God so God will convict me? Am I into the Word of God so that I can get the help I need to deal with with some circumstances so I can help somebody else or help myself in the circumstances that I'm going through? And if I recognize the Word of God for being what it is, the source of God's wisdom, God's revelation to us, then I'm going to have a longing and an appetite for the Word of God. I'm going to have a desire to get into the Word of God that I might find the answers I need. Verse 132. He says, "Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name." One of the things that I appreciate about the psalmist, and you see this with all of all the scripture, but it's especially evident, I think, in the Psalms. You get a very human perspective on things at times. Now, you're getting the truth of the Word of God. There's no lies taught here. But one of the things that the psalmist sometimes talks about is, God, where are you? God, I need you. Where are you? I call unto you and you're not answering. God, where are you? And he says that same idea here in this verse. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. You used to do this. God, I remember when I just had an overwhelming sense of your presence. When I had confidence and joy in my walk with you, and those things are not there right now. And I feel like you've walked away. I feel like you've abandoned me. I feel like I'm all alone. And God, where are you? Has the situation really changed? Now, we have promised. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So is the perception, and I'll use that word, is the perception that God isn't there or something of that nature, is that a reality? Now, if there's a sin issue there, that might be in part a reality. But if nothing has changed that I'm aware of, and I may say, God, convict my heart, open my eyes to the sin that's hindering my relationship to you, that'd be a good prayer. But if you go through, where's God? I can't base my walk with God on circumstances. I can't base my walk with God on feelings. I can't do that. Because those are going to come and go. I shared this before. When I have I don't have too many, probably because of this. But if I have somebody come to me and said, we want to get married. Oh, really? Well, sit down. Let's have a talk. First question I ask them, why do you want to get married? And they always look at me like, what? Why do you want to get married? Well, because we love each other. Oh, that's great and wonderful. That's what's going to keep you married when you don't feel like this anymore? And then they do this again. Because they can't imagine not feeling this way. They assume that it's all just going to be, you know, they're going to be Twitter-pated for the rest of their lives. And they don't understand that the feelings are going to vacillate. They're going to come and go. Now, those of you who are in long-term marriages, you know that the love deepens and intensifies with these, as you go through these things. The love deepens and intensifies. But these young, clueless! They don't know! Or at least most of them. And we need to recognize that God doesn't change. That God's promises are sure. And that sometimes the feelings ebb and flow. And it isn't God's feelings for us. God is not capricious. God doesn't forget about us. God isn't preoccupied. God doesn't get his feelings hurt. he may be grieved and so on, but he doesn't, you hurt my feelings. I'm not going to talk to you. God keeps his word. And so our relationship with God needs to be based not on our feelings, not on our perceptions, but on what God has promised and what God says. And that needs to be a great, great comfort to us. Because we're all over the place. Some of us more than others. We're all over the place. But God isn't. God isn't. You know, in some relationships, you have the super stable spouse, and then you have the spouse that is all over the place. And very often those two go together. I'm not exactly sure why, but they sometimes do that. In our relationship with God, I don't care how staid and stable you are, God is always the one who is more so. All right? We're the ones that are always frantic. We're the ones that are always uptight. We're the ones that are always struggling. But God never is. God never is. Because God is immutable. God loves us. God has committed himself by the promises of his word. And so if I don't feel... By the way, I will let you know right now also that the charismatic movement, and there's a number of other movements, the deeper life, higher life, however you want to call it, different movements that have gone on in evangelical Christianity, are people trying to come up with solutions to this dilemma that I've just described without simply going back to the Word of God and taking it for what it says. I need something more. Maybe I just need a deeper relationship with God. Well, how do I get a deeper relationship with God? Well, I need to have some great spiritual experience. I need to have this intense feeling of God's presence and love. Well, how do I get that? Well, if I do this it's what the Word of God has to say. And all these other things are people grasping for other solutions other than simply taking God at His Word. This is enough. This is enough. The Holy Spirit that I have working in me right now is enough. The promises that God has made are enough. Now sometimes we may struggle. Sometimes we're the frantic person. I can go back to this. I can see what God has to say. It's enough. I don't need other things. And frankly, those other things are going to be outside of what God has said. Because those other movements don't stand up under biblical scrutiny. Verse 133. Order my steps in thy word. I have to walk biblically. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Those are going to be antithetical to one another. I can't walk biblically. I can't operate biblically. I can't think and talk biblically if sin is going to be dominating my life. Sometimes we think of overt sin that we see in other people. We hardly ever see it in ourselves. But we think of that overt stuff. But there's very often the subtle things that dominate our thinking. We get fixated on things that aren't right. We become preoccupied with maybe some materialism. Maybe we get preoccupied with wanting more money. We get preoccupied with a thing. I get preoccupied by wanting a car. I get preoccupied by sometimes family can distract us from our walk with God. Family is a good thing, and I don't mean family problems. I'm talking about family. Sometimes our families become our gods. Sometimes we are preoccupied with what we're doing as a family, and it takes the place of our walk with God. Family is good. Family is good, but I have known a great many families that set aside things that God clearly teaches in His Word for the benefit, supposedly, of family. In the long run, You can't have it both ways. My walk with God is number one. Is number one. It ought to be number one. There are no promises in the Word of God that say your children are going to turn out right, regardless of what you do. There are no promises in the Word of God that say that if you cross all your T's and dot all your I's and live a godly, faithful, consistent life, that your children are going to turn out right. What about Proverbs 22:6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That is a proverb. That is a truism. It's not a promise. That means that if you do this, then generally speaking, this is the result. I have a friend who pastors, and this gentleman has, I believe, and it isn't the same person that's immediately going to come to my wife's mind. This guy either has 8 or 9 children. Wow! He's got 8 or 9 children. All but one are serving the Lord. Say, well, obviously he doesn't have his house in order. Obviously there are some problems in the child-rearing process. No, sometimes I can't control everything that's coming in. And even if I could, the problem is not what's on the outside. The problem is what's on the inside. We can't even let family become the stumbling block. So order my steps according to thy word. I need to operate biblically. I need to think biblically. I need to do everything biblically. And he says, and let not iniquity have dominion over me, because it's going to be one or the other. If I'm not operating biblically, then something else is intervening, and that's sin, folks. That's sin. And it might be something that we deem as good. It might be something the Bible says is good. But we do have to prioritize things. And our walk with God, our relationship with God, is number one. If I am sacrificing my walk with God and my relationship with God for the benefit of something good, then that good thing becomes an idol. Verse 134. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. There are people all over the world today that are suffering great consequences because of their fidelity to the Word of God and their walk with God. There are people who have been sentenced to death. There are people who are killed every month. I can limit that, and probably every week. I won't say every day, but it's possibly even every day. Because of people who despise God and His Word and therefore despise God's children. I'm going to be talking this morning about the fact that there are bad guys. Can somebody keep me from serving the Lord? There's a good question for you. Is that a loaded question? Can somebody keep me from serving the Lord? The answer is no. Now, they may keep me from doing certain things that I want to do. I want to share the gospel with somebody. They put me in solitary confinement. I can't share the gospel. God told me to share the gospel. I'm in solitary confinement. Is that sin? Because I'm not busy sharing the gospel with somebody because I'm put in solitary confinement for my faith? No. But if I get angry at God, if I grow embittered with God, if I allow my prayer life to, because they can't take that away. They can take away my access to the Word of God, at least what's not been memorized. They can take away everything except my relationship with God, because God said, I will, again, never leave thee nor forsake thee. It doesn't matter where I am. I can talk to God. I don't have to be in a situation. I can't be in a situation where I am compelled to sin. Where I'm compelled to do the wrong thing. But oppression can be a hindrance, can be a stumbling block. And as we've mentioned before, sometimes it is costly to do the right thing. And being forced into a situation where I have to make decisions that are hard, where it's going to cost me to do the right thing. That is, I think, what he's talking about here. from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. I need to make up my mind that I'm going to do what's right, even if it's costly. All right, save your notes. We've got two more verses to go, and then I'll have the next section here for us as well. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that we'd make up our minds that we are going to do the right thing, that we are going to operate biblically, that we are going to think biblically, that we are going to speak biblically. And Father, it is so easy to get distracted. We are surrounded by all sorts of things demanding our attention. Our phones ring. The phone we have in our pocket demands our attention. Other people demand our attention. And yet, Father, we need to make sure that we do not neglect you. And that the various things that pull us different directions are also not going to distract us in our thinking and give us ideas and so on that are going to distract us from the Word of God. Father, may we saturate ourselves that we might know what to do when the situation arises. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.